Good evening. I believe tonight is a special night. What do you think? Special night, and we came by faith, and God is going to honor us in His Word. Okay, are you ready? Can you? All right. So, no jokes, going to the Word directly. You're going to not... I'm not going to waste our time. Okay. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this time together, and thank you that I can speak English, and thank you for this beautiful body, and thank you for this great weather, and you told us give thanks for everything, and we do, because you are wise, and you are loving, and you give us joy, great joy in your Son. We're praying to bless these words in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, would you open with me Second Kings chapter 4. Second Kings chapter 4, verse 8. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. And it was as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. So the story is like this. So one lady, notable woman, she saw Elisha coming there and going back. And she told to her husband, okay, why don't we prepare the room for this holy man? And her husband said, okay, let's do this. So they did it. And she told to the man of God, so this is a place for you. Just come wherever you want and be there and get some rest. And verse 11, and it has happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned to us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king? Interesting, huh? So the conversation is like this. How are you doing? I'm doing fine. So do you need that I would speak to the king about you? No, I'm doing fine. How about if I speak about you to the chief commander? No, I'm okay. I live among my people. So basically she is saying, I am all set, right? I'm all set. I'm fine. And he goes, verse 14. So he said, then when is to be done for you, for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old. So he said, call her. Then he had called her. She stood in the doorway. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, listen. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maid servant. No, do not lie to me. So what does it mean? That means that you are touching very sensitive part of my life. And be careful. Don't touch it lightly. And I would better say that I'm okay. I don't need anything, But if you are touching the very important part of my life, I'm going to tell you that I'm serious about it. And for you, it's better not to say and to not to give me promises. Because if it's not like this, and I'm telling you, know my Lord, the man of God, don't tell me these things. It said that don't lie to me. And I can imagine me just preaching the gospel in the streets of Moscow and coming to people and say them that Jesus can save you. And they could say, you are touching a very sensitive part of my life. Don't touch it lightly. If you speak to me as everyone with a religious mood and with the religious promises, so don't tell me anything because I'm fine without it. But if you touch these things, be careful because it should be true. And we're so privileged to be in the ministry when we are saying the true word, I mean the finished work. I mean, yes, you will be saved. And Jesus is not lying to you. Jesus is faithful. Wow. I served in Navy a long time ago, when I was 18. And you know, in Navy, when the chief commander step on the boat, or admiral step on the boat, on your boat, or maybe a president step on your boat, right away, the flag should be lifted up. His flag, you know, his banner. For example, the admiral is going and step on the boat, on the ship, and right away coming up the banner of the admiral. Are you with me? Right away. He stepped in and right away the banner is there. And Son of Solomon, it said, two, four, it said that God brought me to the house of what? Banqueting, is it? Banqueting house. And his banner over us, what? Love. Right? And when he received Jesus, and when he stepped into our life, he said that right this time, right this moment, over you was raised the banner, is love. Amen? And I will never forsake you. And I will never leave you. Because I step into your life. And right away, above you, forever and ever, will be my banner. This is love. And I'm not gonna lie to you. Even though, like in this story, your son is going to die, I will be faithful to you. I will come to you, and I will raise your son from death. Trust me. Be with me. Trust my life. So trust my love. Trust me in the word. I'm not lying to you. Yes, I'm going to touch very sensitive parts of your life. And I am very careful. And I will speak to you directly. And you can trust me. Then you can say, yes, Lord, I trust you. I want the Son. I want salvation. I want to have eternal security. I want to know much about this. I want to be stable in faith. And go with you, because you are not lying to me. You are very serious to me. You love me, and I love you too. Thank you. God bless you.
That was so good, wasn't it? Just, he made the point that the message is finished, but I just want him to, I'm going to ask him, okay, I'm the woman, don't lie to me, okay? And then you say, you know, I'm not lying to you, what I'm saying is true. And I could say, don't lie to me, I came here to Bible college, and I came here by faith, don't lie to me.
Yeah, no. No, I'm not lying to you. No. Come.
Okay, I have a drug problem, drug addiction, other problems in my life, different kinds. You're telling me that God will take care of me. Don't lie to me. Are you lying to me?
No, I'm not lying to you. This is true. God will help you, because I'm not speaking from myself. I was sent by God, and I am a holy man. I mean a man of God, and he is able to fulfill his word in your life.
So any new people that come in here, anybody that comes into this church and they're sitting here, and they're hearing promises, and they're going to say, don't lie to me, this isn't going to work. You're telling me something is not going to work. It's not going to help me.
It will help you. It is. It will. Yeah. Actually, I'm in danger to saying this. But God is saying, no, just tell these things. Because this is true. Don't you think so? Did they give you right answers?
Yes, you did. You know, the Holy Spirit has spoken to us from that message. That was very good, wasn't it? That was very good. Thank you. Okay, so Pastor Ronaldo has been living in Zimbabwe and just came back. His wife Charity is here. I'm sorry, where is Charity? Yeah, here. And Linda, his little girl, precious little Linda. Wave, Linda. How old is Linda? Huh? 30 years old, he said. 30 years old. Wow. We love your family. We love you, Pastor Ronaldo. Come and share with us.
Good evening. it's great to be here in the snow. This is not Africa. Okay. It's greatest winter in the history of Baltimore, right? How many inches was it? Good Lord. Yeah, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your abundance of cold moisture. We ask you to take it back, please. Bless these words in your son's name, amen. One verse, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. There's parts of this verse throughout the Bible. I think it's the most quoted verse in parts of it throughout the scriptures. But Paul is quoting it here in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, but as it is written, eye is not seen, nor ear is heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love him. Eye is not seen. And the reason why Paul says that is because we don't see ourselves truly the way God sees us. I like what Pastor Shallow said this morning, that Jesus knew where he was coming from, he knew where he was going, and he knew who he was. That is powerful. Underneath confidence is identity. Bona fide confidence is always sourced in bona fide identity. When you know who you are, everything is in place. You can be in a maelstrom of problems, but if you know who you are, when others run, you can stand. When you know who you are, what others say about you doesn't move you. When you know who you are, even when your behavior doesn't match your identity, you find your confidence in who you are and not what you've done. when you know who you are. Bona fide identity produces bona fide confidence. We heard this morning in John chapter 13, Christ had bona fide confidence on the last night of his life because he knew who he was. It says in John 13, verse 1, then he says it again in verse 3. He says he knew. He knew. He knew his time was come. And that should make him sad. He knew that one of them would betray him. And that should make him disappointed. But he also knew that he was from God and he was going to God. Identity is powerful. But it's the one area in many of our lives. It's the room with the door that we don't lock. And we let so many things get in and muddle our identity. And we don't understand that our life is more than what we see. Our life is more than what people say we are. Our life is more than what we say about ourselves. I was soul winning about 11 years ago in Zambia with one of our pastors, and he's crippled. He's got the bones in his foot, I think there's 29, I'm not sure, in his foot. They fused into two bones. So he walks with a severe limp. And I was soul winning with him one day. And in this atmosphere of Christianity, healing in the atonement, everyone believes that if you're walking with God and you're filled with the Spirit, you shouldn't be sick, you shouldn't be crippled, you should be healed. So being an evangelist who's crippled destroys that myth. So he was being mocked. We were soul winning in Zambia, and someone said to him, so you walk with God and you're crippled. I don't want to walk with your God if your God leaves you crippled. And I started to jump in and defend him, but then the Holy Spirit said, leave it, see what he says. He looked at the guy and he said this, we're all crippled. And the guy stared at him and just quietly walked away. We're all crippled. He didn't say, I'm not crippled. He said, we're all crippled. I loved his confidence because I knew underneath his confidence there was an identity. He understood that, yes, I am crippled, but I'm no different than anybody else. We're all crippled. But the more important thing is God, not my physical appearance. If you know who you are and you know where you've come from, I like how John 13:3 says it. He says, he knew he was from God. If we know we are from God and we know we're going to God, everything in the middle has been decided. Everything in the middle has been set in place. And often in our life, many of us, we're like Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel chapter 9. We're like him. We don't know where we're from. Mephibosheth's grandfather was King Saul. His father was Jonathan. He came from royalty, but he also came from the people of God. But when he was roughly 5, he was dropped. And the news of his father and grandfather dying in battle, he was dropped and he was crippled for life. And he was moved into a place of shame. Imagine you're Mephibosheth and you grew up and everyone in the area is known for shame. Everyone that lives in Lodibar is full of shame. They have an identity based upon what other people have said about them. And maybe they're not as crippled as he are, but if they live in Lodibar, that's the identity that they take. And many of us, our atmosphere, our upbringing, our history, our experiences have defined us. And it is chosen to give us an identity. When we meet people, this is the identity that we give to people. I am this. We say this with our actions. We say this with our words. We say this with our life. I'm this way. But I like what Pastor Schaller said on Wednesday, the three Matthews. There is the way you see yourself, the way people see you, and then there's the way God sees you. My bona fide identity is the way God sees me. But if I don't know how God sees me, I'm left with a second-rate identity. Second-rate, and I will own that. I will personalize that. I will autograph that. I will convince you that's who I am. Many of us are like Mephibosheth. We spend our entire life in a place of shame that it becomes our, we don't even feel ashamed about it anymore. We just say, this is who I am. But I love God. God never accepts our definition of who we are. He never accepts our identity. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. what God has in store for us. I like the way the Amplified Bible talks about this verse. It says, what a God has already prepared for me. It doesn't say what God is going to do. It's what God has already done on my behalf, based upon an identity that God has given me. And the great thing about our walk with God is this. We have a bona fide identity. And from that bona fide identity, we have a bona fide confidence. And it's not a confidence in who we are, as opposed to a confidence in who God is, because who God is and who we are defines who we are. So that no matter what I've done is not defining who I am, but what God has done for me defines me. So when the end, Jesus Christ at the end of his life in John 13, when he's supposed to be depressed, that's an acceptable emotional response to death. That's an acceptable emotional response to betrayal. He doesn't have any of that. In fact, he's so secure that he actually performs a service to the very people who will betray him. That's confidence. That's the ultimate confidence. When I can serve my enemies, not just tolerate my enemies, when I can serve them, that's when I've tapped into the mind of God. That's when I understand who I'm from. That's when I understand where I am. And that's when I understand where I'm going. And that was the change in Mephibosheth's life. When David came and told Mephibosheth, you're not your experience. You're not your handicap. You're not where you are. You are not Lodibar. Everything about your life is Lodibar is around you, but it's not you. David came into his life and said, let me remind you of who you really are. Many of us at different times in our life, we walk around like Mephibosheth and Lodibar in our Christian experience. And then the Holy Spirit comes in like David and says, this is who you are. And if you continue to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, after verse 9, into verse 10, into verse 12, and down to verse 14, you will see that it's the Holy Spirit that every time comes into your life, like King David, and says, you're not in a place of shame. You're not a lame shame. He comes in and spiritually as a paraclete, he picks you up and lifts you up in the identity that is yours. He says, that's who you are. And you say, but I forgot. And I'm here to remind you. For the 38th time, I'm here today, I'm here to remind you, once again, you know where you're from, and you know where you're going. You're of God, and you're going to God. And everything in between is just the work of God and your experience. You know who you are, you know where you're going. So if you slip back into the Lodibar mentality, the Holy Spirit comes in like a flood, and remind you, and remind you, and remind you. He doesn't remind you so much of what you've done. John 16, 7 through 9, there is conviction, but he comes in and reminds you what God has done on your behalf. I think that is the lion's share of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Not the conviction of sin, but the conviction of what Christ has done. The rehearsal of what God has done on my behalf. Not to judge me, but to encourage me, to build me, and remind me, most importantly, remind me exactly what God says I am. And that makes us confident. We're not arrogant. We're not proud. We're prepared for life because we have a confidence in knowing what God has already prepared for us. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, what a faithful God has already prepared for us. My identity is set in what God has already prepared for us. The place he already has for me. The place that I can't change. The place that I can't lose. The place nobody can take from me. The place that if I forget about it, the Holy Spirit comes in just to remind me. That's the greatest part of restoration. The Holy Spirit in 1 John 1, 9 reminds you of who you are. Not rebuke, but remind. When you really look at 1 John 1, 9, there is more of a reminder than a rebuke. It's not the stick. It's the arm. It's the arm. Just kind of remind you. You ever have a friend that come in your life and put their arm around you just to just remind you? And maybe they don't say a word, they just kind of remind you. That's the Holy Spirit. He makes us confident with just our identity. He doesn't come and say, you can do it. He said, it comes in your life and says, Christ has done it. Walk in what he's done. Have that as an identity. Don't be Mephibosheth. Don't walk like him. Christ says in John 13, walk like me. I know where I'm from, and I know where I'm going. And it's going to be okay. Amen.
That was a good word, wasn't that? Both of those. Very good. Very good. I think just by listening to those messages, I'm going to just make some comments and we'll finish up tonight. I do believe that when I hear something that comes from God, I can doubt it. You know, I do believe Mephibosheth, in 2 Samuel 9, was to eat at David's table. And he was lame on his feet. But he was to eat at David's table all his life. And David had him come so that he could give grace to him and love Mephibosheth and take care of him and keep his family. Because Jonathan was his dad. And he did this because he made agreement with Jonathan. He would respect Jonathan and Jonathan's family, not wipe them out, but respect them and care for them. And this is what God has done with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the Jewish people. He's been faithful. Though they have had a long history of difficulty, Psalm 90, we read that, Moses' psalm about God's anger and God and Israel and the suffering that they had. Turn there with this Psalm 90 with me and well, I want to show it to you. Psalm 90. This regarding Israel, they came out of Egypt, and Moses is their pastor, leading them, and he talks about their difficulties, their secret sins in verse 8. Then, verse 11, who knows the power of your anger? So teach us to number our days. Return, O Lord, how long? I want to say this. When Elijah the prophet went to the woman and said, you're going to have a son, she said, don't lie to me. Why did she say that? He said, because it's a sensitive area of her life where maybe she didn't have success. Maybe they tried to have children, couldn't have. It didn't work. Those kind of things happen in life. And you could say, no, it's not going to happen. But Elijah said, it's going to happen. This is important. There are times when things don't go the way we think they should go. That's true. And then there are things that God says that are true, even if I doubt it, even if I have unbelief. It's still, you know, this is amazing. For example, I have eternal life. I could doubt it, but it's still true. My sins are forgiven. I could doubt it, but it's still true. My name is in the book of life, but I could doubt it, but it's still true. Because Jesus did this so that we would be loved and guaranteed. We would have guarantees. And the Spirit of God would say that, like the woman said, don't lie to me. And Elijah is basically saying, it is so, you will have a son. It is so, this time next year, you're going to have a son, he said. And that's a beautiful picture. I think it's okay when we doubt and we question things. I think it's human. I think faith is part of doubt. I think they go together. I doubt, but then God could put it in my heart to believe. I could believe. And by the way, when I listen to the word, this is where my faith grows. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the word. I have to be honest, when I began my Christian life, and I was up in Maine with Dr. Stevens, and he was saying things in faith, and I would say, okay, let's see what happens. And I can say now, looking back, it was greater than what I was believing. It was greater. God does things. But maybe not my way, but he will do it. He will do it in a way that he is glorified, and also in a way where his love is made known to you. And Mephibosheth was that person at the table who had two parts to his life. One, he was crippled and could feel, I'm nobody. I'm in danger. David was a friend, an enemy of my grandfather. But I am here at his table and I'm looking at him. It's kind of like scrape, thump. Scrape, thump, Mephibosheth is walking to the table. Scrape, dragging his leg. Scrape, thump. And you might say, that's Mephibosheth. And then at the table, he is more than somebody who has a problem. He's in fellowship with Christ. He has a new identity. He is more than what you may think. He is a child of God. And he could say, don't lie to me. And then the promises and the grace and the love and the strength and the sense of encouragement and love and faith and God being with him and helping him. I like it in our ministry, and we'll just finish, that we're not pretending. Real tears, real pain, real challenges, but they are met with real grace, real care from God, real love from God, real encouragement from God. I like what Pastor Teplov said about the banner over me is love. When the admiral in the Russian or Soviet Navy, when the admiral stepped on board, the flag went up and it was a message to the fleet, you know, that the admiral is on the ship. And we could say the same about our lives, that Jesus has stepped into our lives and the banner over us is love. Love that doesn't fail. Love that talks to you. Love that cares for you. Love at the table of David. Love that is not lying. Love that is leading you. Leads you in faith. Leads you in prayer. Leads you in grace. In the Spirit of God. I think this spring, God is with us and he's going to help us in many areas. Have a thought into the future. that God will help me, God will show me, God will minister to me, God will be with me. I'm going to sit at the table of David and the table of grace, and his love will carry me and show me what is, he will show me and give us peace and guidance. In Russia, important country. In China, important country. In India, another 1 billion people, important country. In Africa, another 1 billion people, important continent. Yes, he is caring and present. But I may not go there, but I am here, and here I want to hear from him, and I want to hear him, and I want to know that the banner over me is not fear, condemnation, judgment, negativity, unbelief. It's not self-consciousness, self-awareness, thump, scrape, thump, scrape, thump. But it is love. His banner over me is love. Great words tonight. Thank you, gentlemen. It was awesome. The Lord ministering to us. Would you pray with me, please? If you're here tonight and you don't have Jesus in your life, then now's the time. Now is the time to say to Jesus, I trust you. Save me. Forgive me. Now's the time. Tonight's the night. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? But tonight, yield. Yield to him. Trust him. Listen to him. Yes, he will help you. He will save you. He'll take your sins away. Yes, say to Jesus, I trust you. Raise your hand, anyone in the auditorium who's never done that before. Raise your hand, anyone on the internet, please. Do it. Do it. Thank you, Lord. Anyone? And then we say this in Jesus' name. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for the men's dorms, the apartments across the street. Thank you for Todd and Scott, who worked so hard for our parking lot to be all amen. Let's give them a hand for that. Thank you, Lord. There's Todd. Todd, you want to stand for just a second? Okay, there's Todd. He's got hero written over the top of his head. Hero, hero. Yeah, Scott. Is Scott here? Hero, number Scott. Bill Greer. Not hero, no, Bill, hero. So these guys took care of the, Alex here, Alex, snow blowing the sidewalk. I mean, really, okay. We're going to close, but tomorrow night is Bible college. I don't see why we wouldn't have Bible college. That'll be tomorrow night through the week. And then take care on the roads and do whatever is in your heart, in your neighborhood, and to those on the internet that are viewing, we sympathize with you. Because if you are snowed in the whole street, I mean, you got to put tennis rackets on the bottom of your shoes and walk out, homemade snowshoes. And we sympathize and understand, but we love you, and press the donate button. And give all your family inheritance to this church. Okay? All right, push the donate button and give generously in the offering tonight. We need it. Yes, we do. And so God bless you. Okay, so this week will be a great week. Lord is with us this week. We're going to go through the week, and then we'll be getting into February pretty soon. And then there'll be Valentine's Day in February. Now, my dear wife is right here. Would you be my Valentine? Would you be? Would you raise your hand if you accept that? Oh, look at it. Bold. Boy, I mean, we went for a walk today. We've been getting along together in the same house, you know, locked in. You know, it's been fantastic. How many have enjoyed this time? Okay. Apparently, you couldn't wait to get out of the house, so you came out here tonight. No, it was good. We had a beautiful time, and I love my wife. She's going to be my Valentine. I love her. She's amazing. Thank you, Lord. My wife's amazing. Could you shovel the driveway when we get home? Okay. All right. Would you stand now? I think we're dismissed. Do we have a coffee? Coffee is ready in the back. In the cafe. You're welcome to stay around. All right. Let's close. Lord, we have heard from you, these men, and your Spirit has used them. Thank you so much. And for the internet crowd, those dear brothers and sisters around the world, everywhere, our sisters and brothers, and lead us in prayer, lead us in what to do in these days. Lead us in the important things. Lead us in opening our mouths and making known the mystery of the gospel. Lead us in sacredness. Lead us in passion. Lead us in conviction and fervency. Lead us in denying ourselves and taking up the cross. Lead us, Lord, in fellowship. Lead us through your Son, Christ, our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.